Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And guesting starring me, Aaron Harbor.
Really good job. Okay, Aaron, you're a curator and a gallerina?
I'm sure, yeah.
A gallerist.
Okay.
How do you identify yourself?
There's a lot of hats, and none of them, no one word really kind of covers all the nonsense.
What does gallerist not cover?
Like a bookstore owner, event organizer, or you know, I put
you're
out the chairs.
Events coordinator.
Events coordinator, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Lots of things.
Okay, I want you to know you're the first white man we've had on the show since April 2018.
I was so hoping you were going to say that I was the first white man you've had on the show since the last time I was on the show.
Oh, that'd be really good. Here's the real deal. You're my boss here at All Gallery, where we record the show, usually. And
so it's a big conflict of interest.
The main thing that we need to focus on over the course of this episode is that neither of us just gets up and leaves and rate.
Yeah, so far, I've had my moments, but yeah, no, I haven't. I'm trying to think. You know, I'll say that at the
think of what?
At the end of events, many events, I'll like, and everybody's just kind of milling around, I will walk into the crowd and go, everybody please leave. Or like, you know, with swear words in there. Yeah. But I said no swears on this podcast.
No, you have pretty good control over your anger.
But no, I've been yelling at people. There's a point at which I just yell at people and swear at them. But other than that, no, yeah.
At events?
Yeah,
or
I'm like,
just
I'm
in
like,
life?
Get the out of here, yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah. They do need to get the fuck out
But
of
I smile when I'm doing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think it comes off as unhinged, I imagine.
Yeah.
You're from Texas.
True, yeah, yeah, and you're from Ohio?
Uh-huh.
Texas is bigger than Ohio.
It is, but they're similar shapes.
Are they?
And there's also a Texas, Ohio.
You mean there's a city in Ohio named Texas?
Yes.
I wonder, there's probably an Ohio,
it's
Texas.
It's very small.
Do you think there's an Ohio, Texas?
I don't know. You got Paris, Texas.
Yeah. I'll have to go. I'll let you know when I find it.
Do you ever forget the Alamo?
Never. I grew up with, like, you know, in San Antonio, and the Alamo was a big deal. You went with for school trips, but it was
the
also...
The Alamo's in San Antonio?
Are you joking right now?
No.
So you forgot the Alamo.
I didn't know where it was.
I'm so hurt right now.
I kind of thought it was in a town called Alamo.
I don't know why my heart needed to be broken. I feel like I'm a guest here, and you've come at me with this sort of erasure of
I know, it's bad. I'm going to even take it to a worse place. The Alamo is good, right? Like, we're happy to not forget the Alamo, right?
It's a complicated story, actually. It was complicated even as a kid, right? Like, it's, you know... The Texas's decision to be its own place separate from Mexico, you know, it's not, so it was a war against Mexico.
Oh, well, that's not good.
Well, right. You see what I mean? And it was a mission before that.
Not good.
Not good.
Catholic.
And then like even if, and they, but then they don't win. That's the other important thing, right?
Oh, right.
They all die in the Alamo.
Okay.
Davy Crockett and Bowie.
Davy Crockett even dies?
I believe so now.
Davy Crockett is a real person.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, totally.
This is the Texas
lore.
He's
from Tennessee.
I'm just
He's not a Texan, but...
Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I know that part.
So, okay. Yeah, but the Alamo was fantastic. I just want to, like, shout out to the Alamo. The best parts of the Alamo is over the years after the events of the Alamo story and films, it was, like, various occupied by different soldier groups and individuals, and there's a lot of graffiti, and the graffiti is like in old-timey fonts.
What?
And it's like carved into the stone, like with like serifed fonts, and it's really funny. I thought it was a kid. I thought that was the funniest thing in the world, to do your graffiti with like these really elaborate
fancy
lettering. Yeah, totally. I loved it.
What
I love the Alamo.
What's it say?
No, just people's names. It's just same stuff we always do. The year and
like
your name.
DJ loves
MJ. Yeah. No, there's none of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
Just like Harvey.
There's actually
That's
this,
not a very
there's this
old-timey.
Incredible run of cactus in this one garden, the Sunken Gardens, this place where they do concerts. And there's this back area with like, you know, maybe 100 yards that's really overgrown with cactus. And every cactus leaf has people's initials carved on it.
Okay.
It's a lovely town.
Interesting stuff. Okay. And you also come from, do you want to say anything about your family background?
Oh, what does that mean? Yeah, I don't know. I have a complicated family. I don't know. Yeah, I've mostly Mexican. So as
nobody knows this about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know.
My other goal of this episode was to humanize you.
Or demonize. We'll see which way.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm 3/4 Mexican. I always joked that I was more Mexican than Obama is black, but obviously that's not like it's true. It's just math, you know. But like I always joke, and as a kid, I always joked that the one half of my dad's background that was white was just like bleach. It like
yeah,
it like did the job. I'm yeah. definitely lived the life of a white man. I would never.
This is what Linda Berry says about her Norwegian part of her family. Completely just okay. And you had a very tragic family background and suffered yeah. greatly. And
I did. True stories.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just to say that everyone should be in reverence of your survival power. Okay, really good.
Yeah.
And another thing that people might be interested to know about you is that your normal full-time job is at Laney College, our beautiful community college over in Oakland.
Yeah, no, it's at all the colleges, all the East Bay community colleges. That's
the Peralta Community College
yeah,
District.
Yeah, definitely, exactly. Uh-huh. I'm a district employee, although I do like website stuff for the district and contact students and set up chatbots
and deal with unhinged professors.
Some unhinged professors, some reply
staff.
All.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's a good situation. I really like love my job. You know, I like it's mostly remote, which means I'm free to kind of roam. I can come to the gallery and work from here, or you know, do it in and around my travels. It's been a great job, and it's kind of rewarding, and I don't know, feels uh-huh. very productive.
You get any perks?
Oh, I think there are perks. I think I can take classes for free, but I haven't done it.
What about the bookstore?
Oh, you know, they're going to close all the bookstores.
You could be getting us such cheap Post-its. Okay, really good. You also did some time at SFAI.
I did. I went straight out of high school into San Francisco Art Institute in 98 or 97. I had two best friends in the latter part of high school, this girl, Nicole, and this guy, Andy. And all we did was paint and draw and try to find acid. You know, sort of our life. And I'd go to arcades. I really wanted to go to arcades. I play a lot of video games.
Uh-huh.
And then paint and draw and try to find acid again. And then we never did. It's Texas. So that's kind of, it's like a joke almost, right? Like that wasn't a thing that you succeeded at doing. It was just a way to occupy a Friday. I was trying. Or drinking wine at my girlfriend's like family house. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It's good living. But so we all drove up to Austin. I think my friend drove me up because I don't know how to drive. Or we went with his mother to do a portfolio day.
Oh, yeah.
And then the three of us like waited in line. I talked to a couple of schools and then they close it. They're like, it's 5 p.m. Everybody needs to get the hell out of this hotel. And they're kicking everybody out. But whoever it was that was running the SFAI's booth took the last four people waiting in line for SFAI to show their portfolio. We found like a hallway somewhere within the hotel, like which, you know, there's like furniture in a hallway of a nice hotel.
Yes.
And he just let us like show our portfolios there. And then like in a few weeks, the three of us, my two best friends and myself all got like acceptance letters to SFAI.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, we came out and visited one spring break on my friend's, there's no money in the Harbor family. But yeah, I think Andy paid for us to come out to to San Francisco for a spring break. And we were hooked. We're like, yeah. We came out here.
Uh-huh. What made you be so excited about it?
First off, I had never traveled anywhere. That's the other thing, too. So I was just naivety, you know, like just a foolish kid, right? I mean, I'm like, foolish to the extent
I don't know what the geography is like the topography is like of San Antonio.
It's kind of hilly outside of the city.
It is
the hill country.
Because, man, when I got out of Ohio, seeing those fucking hills, I was completely shocked.
In a good way? Were you into it?
I was like, the earth rises up. The earth is in the sky.
Yeah, no, it's a whole thing, right? No, I loved it. I loved the city, and then I loved the school. I make decisions in life. Like, when I got to check, like, what my major was, I checked new genres, and then people were like, what is it?
Uh-huh.
And I have no idea, but I was like, it makes sense that I'd want to do the new ones, though.
Oh, right.
And that was literally my major at SFAI, uh-huh. although I didn't graduate, but I was in new genres just because I was like, canon. Yeah, I've got to do the new ones.
Yeah, of course.
This is the 90s.
Yeah, you don't want to be stuck with the old genres. Yeah. Fuck that. Okay. And then you bailed on that.
I bailed on that. I ran out of non-money. I was like on loans. It was all loans and grants and things. We were living on campus, like hiding in the new genres department and the ceramics department. And so it was always on the edge of falling apart, and we got evicted and lost all our shit. Like, oh, I sweared. I was doing so good. But yeah, it was a tough time, but also lovely. Like, I loved my teachers and I loved being there. But at some point I had to take a semester off and just work. I was working the whole time. And then when I went back to school part-time, I'd never had told the loan company that I wasn't going to be there.
Uh-huh.
And so the loans came due while I was in school.
Oh,
and
they
basically kicked me out because I couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
But I still loved my time. I had great professors. I only took guests.
Oh,
I make stupid decisions. Rigo was a guest teacher.
Yeah.
Stuart Sherman, this incredible performance artist. Who else? Dennis Gallagher, a ceramicist who showed at Rena Branston. He passed away not long ago. Who else? Letitia Tsunami.
Oh yeah.
And Paul DeMarinis, sound art stuff. I loved every minute of being in school.
Well, bless your heart. Well, I feel we've covered your whole
that's
history.
Me. Yeah, we're good.
Wait, how did you get into gallery shit?
Oh, so I get out of school. Uh-huh. I'm not in school anymore, but I kept going to stuff, right?
Yeah.
And whoever, and I broke up with that girl, came out to go to school with me. Our best friend stayed behind, and we don't talk to him almost anymore. He's still painting.
Bay?
Yeah. In San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
I kept going to art stuff, and then, you know, went into, you know, various relationships. I would still be trying to like push to go to the museum, go to art shows, but never to openings.
Uh-huh.
And that went on for a while. And then I started dating Jackie M, who co-started the gallery with me while she was finishing. I've told the story many times, whatever. She was finishing CCA's curatorial program. And as all her friends were starting to look for jobs in other cities, and they've all moved away, I stumbled onto a friend of a friend who ran a gallery, Kevin Clark, who's also passed away, beloved human, ran a space called MacArthur B. Arthur. And he'd lived in a house gallery in San Francisco, found it too much, too stressful, like to do your shows.
Hell yeah.
Moved to Oakland and then did it again.
Uh-huh.
And then a year or two into that was like, oh, it's too stressful. I need someone to co-curate the space. And I just was like, I emailed him. I'm like, yeah, I'm a curator.
Uh-huh.
And so I kind of roped Jackie into being co-curating shows at MacArthur B. Arthur.
And the rest is history.
That's awful.
But didn't et al. As a named thing start out of when you guys had a studio at RTS?
Kind of. Yeah, no. We just were the gallery we were in, MacArthur B. Arthur. And then we did a couple other things. We did a show at Royal Nonesuch Gallery, like a set of three shows. And then we got a residency as a curatorial duo, and we called ourselves et al.
Uh-huh.
At Real Time and Space, and we had a residency at a space called Liminal Space that was in
Oakland. Remember Liminal Space.
Yeah, we did a big show there. And we curated a show that the Shed Projects people had organized in a house. So we had a couple of projects that were et al. Before et al. Existed, and then we got invited to do an art fair, like an email saying, hey, do you want to do this art fair? And I was like, do we have to apply? And they're like, no, you're in, but you have to, you know, raise the money. And we didn't know anything about any of that. And we did it as et al. Before we had a gallery, opened the gallery after that.
In the basement
in Chinatown in March of 2013.
Yeah. Remember the basement?
I loved that thing. I miss it.
That was some good shit. I fucking hated it down there, but.
Wait, what do you mean?
There were
visitor?
Great shows. No, when I had to gallery sit there.
Did you gallery sit a little?
Yeah, bruh.
I don't remember
when
anything.
I started here.
Oh, we had both.
You had me here barely ever. I was in the damn basement nonstop. People would come down and I'd be like.
I mean, we hired
I'd be
you.
I'd sitting on the floor.
We hired you for your troll-like tendencies. And so somebody had to go like uh-huh. man the cave.
Yeah, you know? I was the cave troll over there. I mean, because like the last show that was up with us, those Stanford students.
Oh, yeah.
With the fucking 48 projectors and
the
motherfucking
you're trying to turn
spores.
Them all on.
I probably have spores in my lungs.
Well, yeah, of course you do. You're a cat lover.
Holy mother of God. Anyhow, but bless it. There were some incredible shows down there.
Yeah, that was a thing. I miss it. I love it.
One of the Belle Lyle shows down there was like... really blew my mind of how it made the space different.
I know that was yeah. it was like it was it was manageable in that sense that you could kind of transform the whole space. Amy Ho's incredible show.
Uh-huh.
She, like, made a room inside the room. Like,
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Good job with that.
I mean, it was like, it's never like, it's, and I was just talking to two people who are going to curate a show later this year. It's like, Jackie and I, like, share, like, a very specific aesthetic and a vision, right? Like, we can walk into a show with 100 artists separate, meet up afterwards, and we would have liked the exact same thing. We're like, uh-huh. Every time. We're like a grad, back when there were grad shows, back when these schools had students.
Uh-huh. And when there were schools.
Yeah, when there were schools, and when those schools had like 100 grad students instead of like 15 or whatever they do now.
Uh-huh.
We could separately walk in and look at the show and be like, no, it's that one. That's the one we like. And so, but that's great and all, but I think the spaces are best when somebody else, there's other voices, you know, and it's super exciting to us. So many different shows happen down there. A lot of ones that were our focus, our interests, what we're looking at in the world. But so many where it was like somebody else we trust and we're just like, yeah, go for it.
Did you ever have a show down there from a guest curator where it was like trash that you hated?
I don't think so. Yeah, no.
Are you sure?
From a guest curator? No, I don't think
so. Have you ever shown a work in a space that was your space
okay. That
was not liked by you?
Ooh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's different. Yeah, yeah.
And that it was kind of trash that you hated.
No, I don't think that's different, right? Like, but I don't think that, like, that's it. It's like our opinion guides the space, right? But uh-huh. we're not like the BL. It's like we're not the audience full stop, right? The audience is broader than just us, so.
What makes a good work of art? I think I asked you this the first time you were on this
and
show.
You can cross-reference and call me a liar. I think I like work. I like sincerity. That's a stupid sentence, but that's...
Really?
That's very important.
I'm shocked that was your first quality.
That's what we've always thought.
Sincerity.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say that I've seen anything here that was insincere, necessarily.
I thought you were going to say you haven't seen anything here that was sincere. I was like, well, we showed your work. No, I think that's
pretty sincere.
That's one of the most important things.
Okay, fascinating.
But then it gets weirder.
I've never thought to evaluate it on those terms.
Yeah, it's like
I'm gonna have to think about it.
Well, good.
Okay, sincerity, shocking revelations. You also were a critic for a time.
Yeah,
I think this might be one of the things you're most known for.
No, it was, you know, it's funny that like...
You really broke some hearts.
Yeah, but
people
like,
that didn't get to read any of Aaron's stuff, some of it was absolutely scorched earth, scathing damnation.
I thought it was... So that all came about because there used to be so much more writing. I mean, you know, now it's very funny. There's a lot of like Instagram, quasi-anonymous short reviews. It's like a whole vibe right now.
Okay.
But
are people doing that in the Bay?
No.
Oh,
Actually, no, it's not as much. Although somebody messaged me recently that I know that I looked at their Instagram and there were tons of little reviews, which is cool.
Oh, okay. Send it over.
I will
put it in the underworld.
But it came out because I was just seeing so much art. This is, I don't know what year this would have been, probably 2011 or something.
Uh-huh.
We were just seeing so much art. And I was just personally, I'd go to 49 Geary and see everything in the building. And then I'd go to Wendy Norris was right there and Catherine Clark was right there. Yeah. And I'd go to the museum. And I'd see like 30 shows, and I was like, what would I do if I was forced to write a review of everything,
mm-hmm.
regardless of opinion? Because it's hard to justify writing about a show you don't like. There's a lot less negative reviews, first off, because you have to bear the consequences socially of writing up a negative review. And second off, I don't want to write about things I don't like. I want to write about what I love, right?
Yeah.
Mostly. So it was like a personal challenge.
And it's got to be pretty bad, I think, to move us to language.
To bother, right? Yeah. So it was a forced thing. It was like, if I saw a show, I had to write about it. And then the other thing that when I started, Facebook had a really strict letter count, like word count.
Uh-huh.
It was like Twitter size, though the old Twitter size, right?
Uh-huh.
So they had to be short. Like I had to be super short.
Uh-huh.
So I always tried to say like... A blunt opinion, and then one vague reason, whatever I could fit in the amount of characters that it would allow.
A vague reason as to why you had the blunt
why I liked
opinion.
It or why I hated it. Yeah, uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't like this painting show. I didn't like the way the paint was applied on the canvases or whatever it is. I didn't like the color of the paintings or something stupid,
uh-huh.
right? And I loved it.
It was never that.
No, I mean, they
it
were
was
blunt.
Never that,
yeah, they got, but that was this thing. It was like, it was not about like.
You would give some details.
Well, no, so what what you're remembering is so over the time I did it, Facebook started to expand the amount of words, the word count. Some of the reviews kept getting wordier, but I made a book. There's a book with all of the reviews, which is over 1,000 or so, and they just get longer and longer as I'm allowed to write more, because I'm trying to parse it out more than just like bad show.
Yeah.
But sometimes I wrote bad show.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I enjoyed doing it. And then I stopped.
Uh-huh. Any more about that? I mean, I feel like that's how I came to know you too.
It's funny.
Well, I mean, I first met, do you know, we've talked about this since I've worked here.
Yeah,
I'm
but
sure.
I probably already don't remember.
I first ever met you at an auction that was happening at MacArthur B. Arthur.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
No.
Do you remember the auction?
Yeah, we did an auction. Yeah.
With the little Amy Ho paper
sculpture.
Yeah,
the red paper sculpture.
Yeah. Anyhow, I came in, you were at the desk, and I was looking for Ben Valentine, the art writer.
Because
I thought he was going to be there that night. And I had never met him before, but I had seen his writing on like Hyper Allergic. And I was like, I'm going to meet this guy. And anyhow, I was like, hey, have you seen Ben Valentine?
And what did I say?
And you were like, no, not yet.
I said
something like
that.
No. You were very friendly.
Oh, okay, good.
And so then also then later I saw your writing and your scary, terrifying criticism.
It was fun. I really liked
really
the writing.
You really went in on some motherfuckers.
Well, because,
I'm not trying to say it was bad.
No. It was a whole thing.
But you did almost kill someone.
Man, I'll say the only time I really... It came back to haunt me.
Yeah.
For sure, many times.
Many times?
Well, yeah, I'd be like, hanging out with
someone. Can I bring up one that was a real rough one?
Yeah.
You wrote that one about Kate White's paintings. Do you remember that? Yeah. That one really sticks out because she popped off about it on social media.
I don't remember her reaction.
But she didn't know you.
That's
and
funny.
And so, and I went on there and I was like, it's okay. Like, Aaron has written like very scathing reviews of some artists that are like good. So
I know what show it was too. It was the show at Pro Arts. Yeah. I hated that show.
You sure did. Yeah, and then I was talking to you about it, like DMing. You and I were DMing about it.
I don't remember that.
And you were like, I got to tell you, like, the show gave me a fucking stomach ache.
Yeah, that sounds like me. Yeah, I really did. I really didn't like that work. To this day, I'm not the biggest fan,
Sure enough.
There are things like that. There were times like that. It was a risk, But whatever, you have to remember, too, that I'm coming into this as, an always outside insider. Like, I didn't finish school. I'd never shown anywhere. I was still I don't know. What has been amazing to me in this sort of, quasi-art career is any time that anything I say matters at all is like a complete surprise to me.
Uh-huh.
And so when I was operating under the impression that no one would care.
Uh-huh. And the artist doesn't give a damn who's saying it. If someone's going for their throat about their work.
I guess, but I think that it's like when you're in school and you're having critique. If the person giving you the critique, then they have a bunch of bad stuff to say. If their work is terrible, then who cares? If they can't
lose their shit over anonymous YouTube comments.
I think that's so silly to me. I'm only gonna care about criticism from somebody I respect.
That's a good tack. That's a good way.
And I'll try to take something from any, try to take what's seems valuable from whatever I hear. Uh-huh. I don't know. It was
sounds
fun.
Like you have a guilty conscience.
No, man. One time I was at a bunch of friends, and I never do this kind of thing, had gone to Stinson Beach or something.
Uh-huh. I know this story.
Do you? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. And I never do this because I don't want to go to the beach anyway, whatever.
You hate outside. This is something that's very interesting about you.
I like outside.
You're
anyway.
Like one of those Dutch distill artists.
We went down to the beach and walked to the water and then walked back and sat inside. I just want to sit inside, read a book, look out at the beach. I cooked for people.
You looked out the window.
Yeah.
Okay.
It counts. but then somebody was there, an artist who I had written a terrible review about.
Uh-huh.
And then that had become a whole beef because somebody had seen me in the gallery and they were like, he didn't even spend any time there. And I was like, I didn't really need to spend time. These paintings aren't any good. it was a whole thing.
Okay. And then?
No. And then he was like, he confronted me about it there. And it was awkward as all get out.
What did he say?
I'm like, I don't remember exactly. He was like, you weren't even, you know, didn't even
like,
commit
hey,
to the thing.
Like, hey, motherfucker, you didn't even fucking look at my paintings. You fucking wrote that shit.
And it's that's such a ridiculous thing, too. Like, how much of a song do you need to hear to go, wait, this song sucks? Like, you don't, like...
Well, some of those ones change.
I know,
sure.
They start
one way and then end another.
Oh, so you think, like, maybe if you, maybe you really hate the beginning
like
Bohemian Rhapsody. I was going to say, but yeah. The end of it, you're like, it turns out, oh, I never heard that end part. It's really good.
The end part saves the day.
Oh, fair enough. Well, there was no end part to
but
those paintings.
But paintings aren't time-based.
I mean, they are, though, too, right? It's just the time is, whether it's a second or an hour, it's
time. Have you had
a
painting that you didn't like and then came to like later?
No.
Is there any artwork that you started out not liking and then came around to it?
The opposite is more likely. I might like
that
something.
Liked it
and then
learned
kind of get
to
over
hate it.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Tough stuff.
I like a lot, though. So, you know, I'm not worried.
But did you learn your lesson from your Stinson Beach encounter?
I don't think I did.
I mean, it stuck with you.
Yeah, but that's okay. It's like...
Are you going to start writing some criticism again?
No. I got other things to write. I just started writing other things. That was kind of part of it.
Uh-huh.
And I was writing... They became so long at some point, each review... That I couldn't, I felt like, and I had to like settle in. There were certain galleries that I was like, if I'm going to 49 Gehry, there were a couple of galleries that were in there that like were always bad. And I was like, if I've written two bad reviews about a gallery in a row, we're not writing a third. You know, I started having to like wall off. Like, I'm not going to write. I'm like, just because I walked into that one bad gallery, I've written plenty about that gallery. We're good on that. No one needs to know that I dislike how many photos that one gallery has up again. We're good.
Right.
You know? So it just kind of faded. And then I started writing other stuff. So I was like, I'm going to write. I'm gonna stop doing this.
Okay. It
no
had
lessons
nothing
learned.
To do with like people coming to like fucking take your ass out.
No. I wish people would write more though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's doing anything these days?
I don't know. It's like
really,
four people.
There's
in
Max
San
Blue.
And there's
Sarah Hotchkiss, obviously.
Yeah.
Is that it?
There's a few other people, bits and bobs, but this is just a lot less.
Let us know if you're writing about stuff and we don't know you. Give us
please.
A call, 419-351-6606, or you can email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Also, we want to say thank you to our donors, Jim Prosser and Anonymous. And if you want to donate to the show, go to congratulationspinetree.com and smash that donate button. Okay, well, we really covered a lot of territory with all that. I want to talk about the crazy people that come to the bookstore.
Maybe, yeah, you talk to me.
I've been talking to you.
No, about the crazy. I love, what are you talking about? Everybody's sane and reasonable.
No,
here.
There's some wild motherfucker. Today, this motherfucker comes into the bookstore, okay? She's got two gigantic and very nice, like expensive looking pieces of luggage on the rolly things. You know, hard luggage with rolly wheels on.
I know. Yes. Do I have to acknowledge that?
Yes.
Yes, I've heard of luggage.
Straight up, as soon as I started talking, Aaron started looking at his phone. I need that to be known. You're like, oh, now you talk so I can look at my phone. Okay, this motherfucker comes into the gallery. She's got gigantic luggage. Okay.
Go on.
Come on! And so she fucking puts her luggage down like... It blocking my point of egress, okay?
Yeah.
And she's like, can I charge my laptop? And I'm like, yeah, okay, let's plug it in over here. And then she's fucking typing away on her laptop. She's like, have you guys got Wi-Fi? I give her the fucking Wi-Fi thing. And then I'm texting you, and I'm like, I'm saying like, oh, there's this crazy bitch in the gallery, and you're like, oh, it's, you know, Sonia Sotomayor is supposed to come by.
I was expecting one person. It could have been.
Yeah, you were expecting somebody. So I assumed that that's who the person was. So I started giving, like, I already was giving her everything there was to give.
Okay.
But then I was like, oh, this is somebody Aaron knows. I better really ramp up the hospitality.
I just want to clarify. And then we clarify that it wasn't that person.
Uh-huh. And, oh, you're going into your text
and I just
messages.
Want to say that I said, okay, then I don't know who that is. Good luck, question mark. And then I said, you know, you can say no to people, right?
Well, that's not been a strong suit here at all for me. But anyhow, so then the girl is like, oh, I'm going to have an interview. And I'm like, I was really just wanting her to move her shit so I could come in and out of my little bunker.
Yeah.
And so I was like, hey, do you want to do this in the back? And then sure enough, I was like, she's setting up in the back. And I'm like, so do you know Aaron? Because I was starting to be like, something ain't right.
Yeah.
And she was like, who's Eric? And I'm like, no, Aaron, the gallery owner. And she was like, oh, no. And I was
she just
like,
walked into a shop and decided and did a job interview. Well, God bless.
And I was like, okay, well, we're in too deep now. And so anyhow, she comes back out at one point. I'm like, so what's this interview? And she's like, oh, I have an interview with a tech startup. And I'm like, you better buy some books then.
And then she did.
She did. And she got the job. That's amazing. She left her. I made her sign up for the newsletter.
I'm gonna hit her
up.
I think
it's a fake email, though.
Why? What is it?
Because it's a name. Okay. Yeah. A woman's name.
Okay.
I'm guessing her name.
Possible. Well,
I'm not going to shout it out. Do you think that's mean?
Don't say it. Yeah, don't say her email.
Her name was Bernadette.
It's a good name.
No, literally, that is what it was.
Okay.
It was Bernadette Discounts and then some other characters.
The word discounts?
Yeah. I'm like, what's that about? Do you think her last name is Discounts?
Here's the thing. Bernadette, this is going out to you. I know you're listening. I'm glad that we were here for you in your time of need.
Really? I'm not. I'm mad about it. Okay, we got some interesting crazy people. Customer stories?
No, I don't have any, man. Everybody's
oh, my Lord.
Sweet to
I'm
me.
Getting all the freaks.
Yeah, I think so.
I've had people come in and just be kicking the boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're pretty lucky, though. I just want to say that, like, there's...
I had a lady come in who was trying to get me to figure out how to deal with her child that was abusing her, and she showed us... Abel was here, and
yeah,
she showed us
this.
A bite on her... on a personal part of her body, I'll say.
I just want to say that I love that we're open to the community. Like, no, but, like, sincerely, I think that, like... Yeah, like...
Well, we should say this gallery was Ratio 3, which was completely like...
Ratio 3, it was open. There was no... You didn't have a code to get in. You didn't have to buzz to get in. But the doors were closed.
You had to know it was here. You couldn't figure it out if you didn't know it was here.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we have...
But we don't know. We should actually get Theo on the show to tell us what was really going on.
Yeah, I mean, I came all the time.
I'm sure people would just pop their head and see the fucking
white-ass
alienation space and walk their ass away.
Yeah, it's just a different type of gallery. I mean, we love the notion of it being, like, there's so much, like, exaggerated fear in San Francisco, you know, of, like, being present and being open to the community, you know, and we had such good luck running the opposite. I know that there are occasional somebody comes in. I get some weird people,
and
too.
And even people that are coming in that are in some kind of state of crisis or whatever, like, it's never scary. Like, it's only, like...
It could be, right? I know we had a gallery sitter who was having some bad luck, you know? And I was like, yeah, just close the door and put a sign up to text to come in and whatever. Like, I recognize that, like, that... being the only person in this gargantuan space is kind of crazy. That this building runs the shop, the gallery, with a single human being is ridiculous. Or like when we have an event, like quite often I'll be the only like employee here, right? There's like the people performing and all of the guests, and then because the doors are open, just people coming in late at night. And the whole thing with the restroom, with drinks being set out, with retail going on, with an event, operates so smoothly. It's
knock
crazy.
On wood for that one.
Well, yeah, I won't.
You won't knock on wood?
No,
you don't believe in it.
Well, no, of course I don't believe in it, but I will knock on wood. It's a social thing to do. Anyway, I'm constantly impressed with sort of like the neighborhood. I love the neighborhood. I've always loved Mission.
Oh, fuck yeah. Listeners, you know me. I'm a straight shooter. Okay.
That's just mistimed laughter.
I say what's what, and I'm not fucking around about it. First and foremost, there is good shit happening here. It's still a white box gallery that's extremely alienating to normal human beings. But, like, there's good stuff going on. I let people use the bathroom. We got the bookstore. We got shows that are, like... often there's outside curators that come in, so it's not always just Aaron's stupid bullshit. So I would like to give my stamp of approval to the following message.
Okay, so we've never been good at the commercial gallery side of things.
And I can also vouch for that.
You vouch for this, yeah, yeah. But we really like having space. and in sharing space and in utilizing space ourselves and letting people utilize it. So we jumped at the opportunity to be in the current space, which is gargantuan and not cheap, but great, you know. And then and for us, to an extent,
and let's also say, like, this was Ratio 3 Gallery, and you guys moved from next door, which was a smaller space.
Yes, yeah.
And, like, you're doing way more stuff with, like, local people and, like, you know, normal people.
No, I mean, this is very
Ratio
much...
Ratio 3 well, ever did.
It's not even about the comparison.
And
it's
if, like, you lose the space, it's going to be a fucking WeWork.
I know.
Okay, folks, we're fighting WeWork.
So here's the thing. The initial time in this big new space, we were doing fine. For galleries our scale, like all of our peers across the country, the last year and a half has been terrible as far as getting people to spend lots and lots of thousands of dollars on paintings. especially since we moved in here, we've started having events here very regularly, readings, Kate mentioned earlier, and poetry events and
postcard writing for Palestine
and performances, and there's lots more planned. I maybe said yes to three things over the last 2 days, I love it. So it's become a space that's a lot more than its sort of selling paintings model in a way that we love. And so one of the ways we're going to try to keep this thing open is we've become a fiscally sponsored organization through Independent Arts and Media. And we're soliciting, like, donations and support. Having people come is great, too. So if you can't
come by,
if you want to give your money
to... please come. If you listen to the show.
Yeah, really.
Come over. I'm lonely.
Yeah. Somebody come talk to Kate. Come on.
Bring me a nice coffee.
Yeah. Sugar in it or no? What do you
actually don't bring a coffee because 12 o'clock is way too late for me to be having caffeine, but I'll take pastries.
Okay.
I'll take a limeade.
Okay. So we're both looking for donations.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Always.
Well, if you go to the website on the top, there's a button for support, and we're actively looking for support. And like, if it's not you, but you know, like you,
a rich
if you're like, yeah, you know that if your uncle is that character from the Monopoly.
Yes.
And he's got his little monocle.
Mr. Monopoly. Is that his name?
I hope so.
It's not Uncle Money.
Did some Money Bucks or something? Yeah, yeah. Daddy Warbucks, that's it from Annie. If your uncle is the...
Carrying a brown bags with dollar signs
yeah,
on
Yeah, with
them.
The dollar sticking out. Or those... Tell him about us. And we can maybe... we can talk. Like, you can go on there. You can make a donation. Or we can have a conversation. Maybe you want to... They or you want to support a specific program or initiative.
Also, review us on Yelp, because the only review we have on Yelp, I wrote.
Well, that's no good. I used to write on Yelp.
Yeah. I mean, you could write a review.
Yeah, that would be unfair.
I wonder if we'd get in trouble if they knew it was us.
I don't know.
Probably. It's a real conflict of interest.
I used to have a review on Yelp. I reviewed exclamation points. I was really happy with my review. Exclamation points. Love them. Use them all the time. But, you know, lots of exclamation
on
points.
On Yelp?
Yeah, yeah.
They had exclamation points.
You could just
Yelp
make one back
listing?
In the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably long gone.
That's good. I also enjoy exclamation points.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we're
Look,
struggling,
people,
but we
you need to support at all. It's weird. It's good.
Thanks for even thinking about it. After all of the nonsense I've said over this podcast and going,
uh-huh.
You're like, oh, that guy who said all that crap
uh-huh.
is asking me for money.
Yes.
Is absurd. And you'd be right.
Okay, folks, we're going to have to go ahead and say Free Palestine and From the Bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations
Pine Tree. I feel like I made you lose your dignity.